Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Mark and Jamal's romantic weekend will depart in 4 minutes from Platform 6. Your ride comes with a rolling countryside sunset view and a table seat ideal for playing footsie beneath. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
Today we're diving into a conversation that I think is going to inspire and surprise a lot of people. Sleep, its importance, and the divine feminine energy that lives within it. So when most of us think about sleep, we often think of, are we getting enough hours of sleep? If we get enough sleep, it's going to make us feel less tired, or maybe it'll improve our health. But what if sleep is so much more than that? What if sleep is where creativity is born, where intuition becomes clearer, where wisdom emerges? And what if we've been approaching sleep completely wrong? Megan Masoko, founder of Wellbeing by Design, a trauma-informed somatic coach, wellness professional, Reiki practitioner, and author of The Sleep System, 28 Days to Better Sleep, is here to discuss all of this and so much more. So Megan helps people redesign their lives through evidence-based wellness practices, while also honoring the deeper emotional, intuitive, and spiritual dimensions of being human. So Megan, welcome back. It's really good to see you again. I'm so excited to have this conversation.
Thank you, Lisa, for your kind introduction. I hope I can live up to everything that you just described during our conversation today. I'm really excited to jump in and explore kind of this hidden side of sleep.
Yeah, it's super exciting. And I think just looking at it from this perspective, not a lot of people do. And so I think a lot of people are going to be inspired by it. And we'll just think of it a little bit differently. It's a powerful, powerful tool. I'd love to start again with just a little reminder of your story. So we spoke about it on the last couple of episodes, but you weren't always into sleep. What was your relationship with sleep before it became essentially your life's work?
Yeah. So my relationship with sleep was kind of, it was a necessary waste of time. And I would say I'll sleep when I'm dead. And I also wanted to be and do everything all the time. So as I had my second son, my other son was six, I started to work from home as senior editor for three architecture and design magazines in major commercial architectural markets. And I would parent my kids all day, and then I would work on my work all night because I wanted to be a really good parent. And I also wanted to be a really good senior editor. And I would tell myself that I could sleep on business trips. But you know, that didn't ever actually happen. So eventually I ended up with a sleep-related mystery illness. But because I was so in denial of sleep and of my kind of demented relationship to sleep, nobody ever asked me. All the doctors said, you look fine. There's nothing wrong with you. And, you know, just go home and don't eat so much salt, or, you know, stay hydrated. Or they would give some very non-helpful prescription that would basically give me permission to continue on the same path of destroying my health, my mental health, and my relationships by not sleeping. And it was only, 2 years down the road when I went to a functional medicine doctor that they asked me, have you been sleeping? And of course, the answer was no. And I got a weak positive result for a Lyme test. So the functional medicine doctor said, you have a chronic undiagnosed Lyme's disease, but it's not like that bad. And so the problem was really a lot of sleep and burnout related symptoms. So he prescribed me meditation, and sleep. And as a type A overachiever, I researched everything sleep, and I hired a Buddhist monk. And those two things combined, like really feeding my intellect, understanding that sleep is the number one predictor of physical and mental health outcomes. And then through the meditation, experiencing something that's there that I could access that I had never been able to before because I lacked the stillness and the discipline. And so those two things combined really brought me to become a sleep evangelist. Unfortunately, when I was going on this journey and into this journey, the models that I had for like healthy sleep hygiene and circadian health were kind of like biohackers and longevity bros. And so I was kind of inculcated into this like hardcore sleep score, kind of competitive sleeping, performative sleeping kind of world. And I realized looking back that that was not the kind of energy that I needed to bring to sleep at that point. I needed to bring more of a noticing, more of a gentle awareness, more of a kind of nurturing energy to sleep, and an intentional sleeping, not performative or competitive. Not to mention two things about wearable devices and sleep scores. Those wearables do not have sensitive enough equipment to really be able to tell you the kind of night's sleep that you got. Number two, all of the comparative data that they have on sleep is all based on men's bodies, not on female bodies, because in medical research, 95% of all of the data is on male bodies. So that really inspired me to bring holistic design thinking and systems thinking to sleep. And one thing I noticed when I came back online in terms of my sleep hygiene was it really helped me do my job as a creative so much better.
That's amazing. I have a million questions, but I think I want to go this route because you bring like a completely different perspective to sleep, and I want to highlight that. You talk about bringing this divine feminine energy into sleep. Can you explain to the audience what you mean by that?
Well, we all have like divine feminine energy and divine masculine energy. It doesn't matter if you're male or female or whatever you identify as. But bringing the divine feminine energy is really this receptivity. And so when you are bringing this receptivity energy to sleep, I guess a close model to that would be like Mother Nature and Gaia, and how there's never any efforting, there's never any rush, but yet everything in nature has exactly what it needs to perform exactly the perfect function at the perfect time. That would be an example of really bringing the divine feminine to sleep and really asking for the restoration, the renewal, and to be re-energized for one, I always say I'm a certified yoga instructor as well, and when I put people into a deep shavasana or relaxation, at the end of it, I always encourage them to remember this by saying, when the clay of your bones meets the clay of the earth, you are restored and renewed and re-energized because you are part of nature, and in nature, there is always enough. And so when you're in this relaxed state, you're in a very receptive state, and it's not only for restoring your energy and restoring your physical health. It's also a receptive state for new ideas and owned wisdom, innovation, and creativity. So
Wow.
the next element I talk about in bringing the divine feminine to sleep is asking a question of your sleep teachers or your dream teachers or your guides or whatever you believe in, but just asking for whatever question you have, whatever thing needs to be resolved. And in the liminal states between waking and sleep, and sleep and waking, and also in the dream states, you will hear these answers, and they're only available to you. So I like to think of sleep and your unique sleep print is like your own unique, fingerprint. The way you sleep is not replicable. The wisdom, the innovation, and the creativity that you receive in those liminal states is unique to you and can never be replicated by another human being, nor AI, because AI can't sleep or dream and or innovate in any way. It can only regurgitate. And then finally, I believe that sleep is actually the OG altered state of consciousness. And we have been so deconditioned to ignore our bodies and ignore the fact that they need a full night's sleep to function with proper, physical health and proper mental health, that we've completely lost touch with the power of sleep as a portal. As a portal to wisdom, as a portal to creativity, to innovation, and also as a portal to self-awareness and whatever else you want to explore. I think of sleep as the only way to really escape the algorithm.
Absolutely. Why do you think so many people struggle to surrender to rest?
I really think it's a lot of our societal conditioning. I think it's been baked into predatory capitalism. I think that we've just really not rewarded any kind of reflection. And reflection requires stillness. And since stillness is not valued as billable hours or productive, then it's really hard for people to hold space for themselves to rest or sleep, or for people to give themselves permission to be still, to rest, to reflect, or even to sleep. But what happens when you never do that is there's this buildup of all of these unresolved personal, intrapersonal, emotional issues that then kind of turn into anxiety when you do finally slow down enough to rest reflect or sleep, there's some kind of signal, there's some kind of discomfort or awkwardness of like, oh, now there's something coming up that's unresolved. And it's such an unfamiliar feeling, and it's such unfamiliar territory that it's like sometimes sleep can be terrorizing. Sometimes
Right.
still can be terrorizing. You know, meditation is really hard at first. And I, you know, a lot of people say, if everybody just slept, or if everybody just meditated twice a day, like the world would be a much better place. And I think if everybody just slept 8 hours a night, the world would be a much better place. Because as we've spoken about before, 30% of people in this country, according to the CDC, are sleep deprived. And automatic baseline response to the physical body when you wake up sleep deprived is baseline physical anxiety. So the norepinephrine is increased, which raises your blood pressure, your blood sugar, and your heart rate. And so when we're not comfortable in stillness, rest, or sleep, we're not even comfortable in waking states. So this is why I say you're your sleep self in and out of bed, for better or for worse. So really, sleep is this beautiful portal, is this beautiful gateway to immense self-love, self-trust, self-awareness, and then owned wisdom and creativity and innovation. And it's all unique to you. But we have been disempowered from using sleep as a powerful technology. And I can't say why specifically that is, but it is a number of societal forces, I believe, and conditioning.
How long does it take to recover from like a night where you didn't get much sleep?
Well, if you wanted to take a nap, you could take a 26-minute nap, and it increases your task proficiency by 37% and your alertness by 50%. And that's according to NASA. But there's research from the Sorbonne more recently that shows a 30-minute nap will restore your bioendocrine markers and your immune system to the levels of someone who got a full night's sleep. So
Okay.
really, 30 minutes is what it would take to recover from not getting that full night's sleep if you're gonna nap.
Okay. So, because I know a lot of people, I mean, the weekdays are easy for people. Like typically our culture is Monday to Friday work. Monday to Thursday work, go to bed at a decent time, wake up early. But then our weekends come around, especially when it's nice out in the summer and people tend to stay up later. And does that take a toll on our bodies?
Well, I've noticed in I'm here in Chicago, like kind of in the, and it is brighter a lot longer. And I've also been to the west coast of Ireland on the summer solstice, and it stayed light until 11 and then the sunset by midnight. But I was like up and raring to go by 6 a.m. and I felt amazing.
Right.
So again, looking at growing seasons in nature and seeing how nature responds to the light and dark cycles, and it just grows and it just thrives. So think of yourself as a plant, and know that it's okay to stay up a little later if the sun is out longer. But really try to eat your last meal at least 3 hours before you're going to sleep, because that will affect the quality of your sleep, and it will also allow your organs to get deep rest instead of continuing to do the difficult work of digestion. And then, yeah, if you're compelled to wake up when the light is hitting your eyes or your skin and you feel rested, I would say that's adequate. But again, try not to drink and overdo it because alcohol is a sedative. It's not helping with restorative sleep, and it will make you miss some of that restorative sleep that you really need at the beginning of your sleep cycle. And then as well, stay consistent. That is the most important thing. So let's say you're on the west coast of Ireland and it's the summer solstice and you're staying off every night till midnight and then getting up the next morning at 6. Just do it as long as you feel okay. And that leads me to another point, which is you do not need to outsource your agency to a wearable or to a sleep score to tell you how you feel or to tell you how you slept. The most important thing is checking in with your body. And that's another thing that we've really been deconditioned from. We want to live from the neck up. We want to be productive. We want to be perfect. We want to be right. But it's such an honor to be in relationship with and honor your body because that actually increases your self-love and your self-trust, and you'll notice that your body will respond differently to you because your cells can hear your thoughts. And just like they've shown that when you talk to plants or play the music, they thrive. They actually grow better and faster and more robustly. And yeah, think of yourself just like you're a plant, you know, just always check in, scan your body, put your hand on your heart, and really ask, like, how am I feeling? Am I getting enough rest? And be honest about it. Yeah.
Absolutely. I have a few fun questions for you. So I want to talk a little bit more about sleeping and the received guidance that you speak of. Can you explain to us some guidance or inspiration that you've received through a dream?
My gosh, so much, so many times I'm like freaking out and I'm frustrated because I can't solve like why my pet is sick or you know why, what is what's you know what's wrong with me, like what is why do I have this physical symptom? And I heard like it's the candle. And you know subconsciously I had smelled like, I'm like, oh, it smells good in here. And I was like, whatever, it smells good in here. But it was actually a candle that was irritating her respiratory. So I immediately put the lid on it and I opened all the windows. And this was in the middle of the winter. And I just like cleared out the whole house with fresh, cold air. And she was better like in 24, 48 hours, no more.
That's incredible. Do you keep a dream journal?
Yes, I do keep a dream journal. I am not always religious about it. I do love kind of lingering in bed after I realize it's time to wake up and recall my dreams. And what I really think is if you can't recall your dreams specifically down to a T or if there was a storyline or whatever. I think the really important things to remember is how you felt and maybe who was in the dream or any particular shapes or colors or feelings and emotions that you felt. I think those are really the key markers to record if you are curious about establishing a pattern of, oh, I'm often feeling this only in my dream state, or I'm often seeing this only in my dream state. I wonder, like, what that could symbolically be in my waking life. And yeah, it'll start to show you patterns of things that maybe need to be seen and heard and honored and accepted and embraced with unconditional love and acceptance and gratitude. And then those things usually integrate and resolve. And I want people to normalize talking about their sleep and their dreams. So instead of asking somebody like, hey, how are you? A better question might be, how did you sleep?
Right.
And people love to talk about their sleep, and it's just is a different question that you won't get a generic answer to.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing that you speak about is sleeping with intention. And so most people go to bed essentially accidentally. They'll scroll until they're exhausted, or they'll watch a movie and fall asleep halfway through it. So you talk about sleeping with intention. What does that look like? How should we prepare our minds before we go to sleep?
Well, I would suggest really cultivating a most beautiful, like sensual bedtime ritual that you're actually looking forward to, whether it's a pair of pajamas or this sumptuous bedding or maybe a luxurious mattress that is just to die for. There should be part of you that is enticed and looking forward to and desires this bedtime routine. So that's why when I'm working with the sleep system, it's using neuroplasticity and the five senses when we're forming the sleep ritual that works best for you, whether it is specific bedtime tea, or again, the way that your bedroom and your bed is set up just should entice you to look forward to sleeping or going to bed intentionally. And there's a second part to sleeping with intention or bringing intention to sleep, and that is really asking yourself or your guides or your dream teachers, what do I want to learn tonight? What do I want to learn about a person, a place, a situation, an event? Maybe you've learned about some, challenge or design constraints or something that needs to be really sorted out, but you can do it in your sleep. So if you bring that intention to sleep, like I was bringing my cat's respiratory issue into my sleep state and asking, what is going on? Can you please show me or give me some clues or some answers? That is what I mean also, as well as for bringing intention to bedtime, but also bring intention to your bedtime ritual and when how you put yourself to bed. I say we're all just little kids in grown-up bodies, and we all know little kids need a very reliable and consistent bedtime routine. And sometimes little kids also need to be indulged, like they need a bubble bath or they need a bedtime snack or something like that. Think of yourself the same way and give yourself permission to really indulge in your bedtime ritual so that you look forward to it and you do it for yourself and for your body.
What is your bedtime ritual and routine? And what are some simple things that listeners can do tonight to amp up theirs?
Yes. So my bedtime routine is to make bedtime tea and also to get my vitamins together, which I made up that word to refer to the supplements that I take before bed.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. And then I usually get tucked in. And I have my eye mask and my satin pillowcase that I just love. And I light a candle that is on a timer. So it's an LED candle that goes off by itself, but it just creates this just really calming like ambiance. And you know, even if I don't really see it past the time I put my eye mask on, it just really fosters that warmth and that nurturance and that womb-like feel in my bedroom. And then I usually say goodnight to a loved one. And then I'm out.
Then you go to sleep.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I like that. There's something to creating like a cave-like atmosphere for yourself at night versus all the blue lights and you know being on the phone and the TV. That does the opposite. But those low lights, red light, anything that's like I said, cave-like is it just yeah puts you in this state of comfort. The fireplace look, like the candle. It sounds so relaxing. I personally love sleep and look forward to it every single night, no matter what day of week it is. I love sleep so much. I'd like to just quickly touch on your book because you wrote a book, The Sleep System, 28 Days to Better Sleep. So what inspired you to create it and why 28 days?
So I'm glad you brought up the book because two of the things you just mentioned, the light environment and then the cave-like environment, are featured in the sleep system. And it's 28 days because that is really what's shown to start to solidify a habit in terms of neuroplasticity.
Okay.
And yeah, habits do take longer to form, but once you have established your sleep system on day 28, it's very easy to continue to follow that. And the reason I guess it ended up to be 28 days because I had researched so many evidence-based sleep hygiene practices. And I wanted to include them all. But since every body is unique, you have your own sleep print. So I wanted people to be able to test out each one of the evidence-based sleep hygiene tips and then to record about what they noticed about how they felt. So there's prompts after each day. And then it left the final week of day 22 through 28 for you to commit to your own sleep system based on your citizen science project and your recording of how you felt after trying each evidence-based sleep hygiene tip.
Okay.
So, yeah, so that's how it became 28 days. And I think that my yoga instructor and my very first somatic coach, Jay Moon Fields, she wrote a book of a 28-day homebody yoga. So it was really to get your own home practice started for yoga. And I remember I really appreciated going through that work, and it really helped me to cultivate my own home practice. And I believe that that same awareness and that same commitment and 28-day discipline can also have a huge effect on your sleep life. For me, I was just desperate trying to teach myself how to sleep.
Right.
So I was willing to try anything and everything. And but because I had such a journalistic and scientific and evidence-based perspective, I felt like I had to be doing the perfect sleep hygiene. So I guess that's how the book came to be. But again, all of the suggestions are for all people to try, but the expectation is that only some of them will actually impact your personal experience of yourself and sleep.
Yeah, it's such an individual thing. And I think that's what I love about your system is that it's individual based and you bust a lot of myths about sleep. And like you said, it's a computer can't tell you how you feel. So it's like taking your power back and realizing what your body needs and what you thrive in and what you like. And it's just like anything in life. As we wrap up this episode, I want to talk a little bit about purpose because I feel like nowadays people are searching for meaning in their lives so much more than they ever have been. Do you think sleep can actually help people reconnect to their true purpose?
Absolutely. I think that when we're in a well-rested state, we make better decisions. And the lack of, not having this norepinephrine and the increased heart rate and blood pressure and blood sugar, it just allows us to focus more on what's important. And when you start increasing your self-trust and just having more of an honorable relationship with your body will give you positive feedback, and you'll want to do things that are only generative to you and to your body. So you'll make decisions to follow your highest excitement or only say yes to things that truly energize you. And also know that you're saying no to certain things or certain people because you're reserving the time to do the meaningful things in life and also to get enough sleep and rest. And so it really, I guess it increases kind of your agency over your decisions and your body, and it's always this positive feedback loop. And I think that you're getting creative answers, you're getting innovative answers, you're getting practical answers, when you bring that intention to sleep and you bring that nourishment and nurturance to sleep. And you're going to really be able to hold a clear vision of, what's really important and what is really meaningful to you when you limit your screen time, when you don't want to always be following an algorithm or tracked by one.
Yeah,
Just
absolutely.
have a journal in the back. So whatever it is that you're thinking when you are trying to go to sleep, or when you just wake up, or a dream journal, or a to-do list that you can't get out of your head, just write that stuff down. And again, writing it down is another way to really honor it, but also to let it go to rest.
Before we wrap up, I'd love for you to tell people more about Wellbeing by Design, and where they can find you and your book.
Sure, absolutely. So, Wellbeing by Design is a series of evidence-based frameworks to design life, work, and sleep within your parameters to thrive. And the sleep system, 28 Days to Better Sleep, was a proof of concept for that. For the whole concept. Also, my signature process as a coach and a facilitator, and the leader of the sleep portal on the Sanctuary by Wellbeing by Design on Patreon is rest, reset, and liberate. So the rest, it comes in to, again, get you like calm and focused and develop that relationship with your body. So you can actually ask it how it feels and you can feel the answer in your body. And then the nervous system reset comes alongside of that so that you're not constantly in a heightened state of vigilance or you're not always, feeling anxiety or anxiousness from the norepinephrine that comes from sleep deprivation. And that nervous system work allows you to be free of kind of volatile highs and lows. You tend to become more of a witnessing awareness of your experience. So that is the rest, reset, and liberate process. So, like I said earlier, you can find me on Patreon. It's called The Sanctuary by Wellbeing by Design. And then my book you can acquire at meganmazoko.com and independent booksellers. Will be selling my book. If you don't see it in your at your independent bookseller, then ask them to carry it, and I'll be notified, and I can send some books your way anywhere in the country, and then also through chiropractors, acupuncturists, functional medicine practitioners, energy healers, and even estheticians carry my book. So again, if any of your practitioners or your esthetician does not have the sleep system available in their retail, they can always just send me a note and I will ship you some books.
Amazing.
I'm also on LinkedIn at Megan Mazzocco, and I think Facebook, Megan Mazzocco, and also Wellbeing by Design has a business page there, but it's much more interesting on Patreon.
Amazing. Megan, I've had such a good time speaking with you today and for talking about sleep in this way. It definitely makes me feel less guilty about prioritizing sleep because it is so incredibly important. But there is that guilt attached to it. You know, people are always like, stay out a little bit later, or why are you leaving? You only live once. And we're fed all this stuff. But I know for myself, if I don't sleep well, I'm not my best self and I don't make good decisions and I'm cranky and, you know, I'm irritable and I'm not productive in a lot of ways. So thanks so much for, you know, designing a program that is so individual for and anyone can benefit from. Like everybody can adapt to. Final thing before we wrap up, what do you think humanity is being invited to remember right now? I know we're talking about, you know, these messages and downloads and sleep, like getting intuitive messages. What do you think we're being invited to wake up to or remember?
I really think we're being invited to step into the next golden age, and that humans are experiencing this massive remembrance of the individual power and the collective power that we all hold and that we've always had. And I just believe that this is a sacred remembrance. And besides psychedelics, you know, one of the original altered states and technologies of this divine wisdom is coming through sleep. So, and yeah, it's something that AI cannot do. And I've heard many people in our field not just in health and well-being, but in like astrology and other energy spaces, say you need to remember what it means to be human. And so the real remembrance here is remembering that you have a body and it is your temple, and you can do so many amazing things when you worship on the altar of the body. And we can do so many amazing things collectively. There's even been experiments shown, like by the Monroe Institute, of people collectively dreaming. Yeah, there's so much magic there, and there's so much mystery there. And I say that we should all participate in this sacred remembrance and then just dive in and really reclaim our power as individuals and as a collective.
Absolutely. I'd love to dive more into the Monroe Institute at a later time. There's so much we could talk about there as well. I'm actually studying it right now. But we'll save that for the next episode. Thank you so much for being here today, as I said, and for being so inspiring and like just really promoting people's individuality. It's been so much fun talking to you.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for sharing your audience with me. And yeah, I look forward to continuing the conversation. You can reach out and I will be there to answer. So
Amazing.
just let me know. We'll see you next time.
You betcha. And thank you to our audience so much for tuning in. This conversation is such a beautiful reminder that sleep is where the birthplace of creativity is. It's not an absence of productivity. It's where intuition speaks and wisdom develops. And in a world that is becoming increasingly automated, maybe our greatest advantage isn't how much we can do, it's how deeply we can connect to what makes us truly human. So again, Megan, thank you so much for joining us. And for everyone listening, if you'd like to learn more about Megan, her work, and her book, The Sleep System, 28 Days to Better Sleep, we will have that information in the show notes for you. And remember, tonight, just don't go to sleep. Go to sleep with some intention. Stay tuned for the next episode, everyone. Take care. Bye for now.
Stay true.